Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome as our guest State Senator Gail Golden, a Democrat from the east side of Providence. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
The House Finance Committee is holding ongoing hearings to review more than $11 million in legislative community service grants. But critics say the process for reviewing these grants is flawed. That's because the people testifying in House Finance are from the nonprofit groups that get the grants. And some say it would make more sense to hear from the government officials who actually decide how the grants are awarded. Senator Golden, what's your take?
You know, that's a good question. And I think that it's always important to have people come up to the State House and give us testimony. These nonprofit organizations are the ones who can speak to the best about what their organizations do. And it's important to note that they provide some very basic services that are needed throughout our state. But the departments themselves would be able to explain how the grants are reviewed and evaluated and what kind of metrics they use to make sure that the money is being used the way we intended it to be.
Maureen, it seems entirely unsurprising that the nonprofit groups that get these grants speak glowingly of the impact. Wouldn't it make more sense to pull back and have an examination of how the grants are awarded?
Well, I think that's another issue. And I think you need some transparency. And I think you need to review how the grants are awarded. The most troubling thing for me is the fact that there are legislators who benefit, who sit on these commissions. There should be no legislators that get any kind of remuneration from any of these organizations. I think they can't do both. I mean, I think the Gallison thing underscores that. I don't think you should be voting on and be a legislator and then supporting a grant and then being employed. It's sort of a nonprofit scam. It goes on across the board. And certainly in this case, it should be stopped.
And as Maureen is saying, it was the recent resignation of House Finance Chairman Ray Gallison that basically triggered this examination of grants. House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello now says that no lawmaker should ever get any kind of salary from one of these grants. Scott, the speaker says he's going to come out with some recommendations for revising the grant process after these hearings are concluded. Any idea of what we should expect?
Well, hopefully they'll put some accountability into the system and hopefully set up some criteria that are bold lines that everybody can see. I think the senator and Maureen is right. Very simply, nobody in the legislature collects any money from these things, number one. Number two, they get audited. And there's follow-up on the auditing, and there's a review of how the money is spent. Now, really, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to look at the federal system and how that works.
A bill backed by legislative leaders to strengthen the State Ethics Commission is now on the fast track. Speaker Mattiello is backing this. And it was somewhat of a surprise when the leaders of the Senate, Teresa Pivoweed and Dominic Ruggiero, were there with Speaker Mattiello to put their support behind this bill. Senator Golden, were you surprised when the leaders of your chamber came out in favor of this move to strengthen the Ethics Commission?
No, I wasn't surprised. I think that this is something they care a lot about and want to make sure that we have the level of accountability and the public trust in the work that we do, because that's really important.
But Senate President Pivoweed for many years has cited concern about something known as speech in debate, the idea that there's a constitutional protection for lawmakers for their votes or comments on the floor of the legislative chambers. And that seemed like a real obstacle for many years in moving this ethics issue forward. Why are things different now?
Well, I wouldn't possibly speak for the Senate president, but I would certainly assume that her signing onto this bill means that it met the criteria that she needed to see in place in order to support legislation.
Scott, one of the other issues with this move to strengthen the Ethics Commission is a proposal to have a blackout period or moratorium on ethics complaints during the height of campaign season. Supporters like Speaker Mattiello say this would help guard against frivolous complaints, but some other people question whether it's really appropriate to have that as part of a constitutional amendment. How do you look at it?
I'm kind of agnostic on it. First of all, let's be realistic on how this law got through. We should call it Gallison's law, like we call it Megan's law. The fact is, President Pivoweed, Speaker Mattiello, particularly President Pivoweed, very reluctant to do anything about this since the Supreme Court tossed it out in the Irons case in 2009. All of a sudden, Ray Gallison gets jammed up and bang, within a week, we have an ethics law. So I think it's kind of a fig leaf. in a way, for the leadership and the legislature to try to show they're doing something about this. As far as the period, look, there's frivolous campaign charges all the time. Hopefully the voters can sort this stuff out.
Maureen, what's your view on whether this moratorium on ethics complaints during the height of campaign season makes sense or not, and how should it be done?
Look, this is not a fig leaf. This is a constitutional convention, a constitutional amendment. And so we have to be really careful about how this is structured. I think they should pass a clean amendment that justifies the idea that the Ethics Commission has control. Then I think it should be statutorily mandated as to whether or not there's a blackout period. The details should not go in a constitutional amendment. It jams us up all the time. You put specifics in these things, and then to do something about it, you have to have another constitutional. We've been jammed up now for years because we put legislator salaries in there, and we can't do anything about
it. Well, why should the legislative politicians be under any different ethics jurisdiction than every other politician in the state? Town councils, mayors, everybody
else. That's what I'm arguing for. I'm saying that we are saying they come under the purview of the Ethics Commission. If you're going to have blackouts, that can be done statutorily.
Lastly, in the news this week, about 2 months after announcing her campaign for Congress, State Representative Karen McBeth has pulled the plug, decided to get out of politics. What's going on here, Maureen?
Well, I really think that this is an opportunity for the GOP, and I think it was wise for her to back out because the opportunities are in the legislature. We had a lot of turnout in the primary. The Republican Party is energized. You've got no more master lever. You've got a chair that isn't raffling off guns and rather being serious about recruiting people. And I think this is an opportunity for them to focus on the General Assembly. That district is almost impossible in terms of the congressional seat. But there's real opportunity and momentum here for the GOP. And we'll see. They should take advantage of it.
Scott, Karen McBeth told me that part of her reason for ending her campaign is that she didn't want to spend so much time raising money. Was she not aware that running for Congress involves a lot of fundraising?
McBeth is absolutely clueless. Let's be honest. If you're going to run for Congress in a district that, as Maureen just alluded to, is one of the nation's most democratic in a presidential year, you've got to understand if you can't raise $1 million, then you just can't play this game.
Senator Gail Golden, you're running for re-election, and Republicans are trying to make gains in the legislature this year. How do you think it's going to pan out with the GOP trying to increase its ranks?
I think the General Assembly's heavy representation by the Democratic Party represents the feelings of the people of Rhode Island. But I do want to go to that comment about the amount of money in politics. I think this is really an issue that Karen McBeth, whether or not she should have known or did know as she was getting into it, is a real question about, you know, what does that mean about money in politics? And this is an opportunity to once again call on overturning Citizens United, because raising $1 million just to get your name in the game for a seat in Congress is way too much money.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Senator Gail Golden.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, visit our website at ripr.org.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.